Call the meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thumbs up if you guys can hear us on Zoom. Thank you.
Reports and communications. Turn it over to the superintendent.
Okay, I just have a couple things to report. Some information that you're probably going to want to know because you'll probably get phone calls. So information about masking changes. As you probably are all aware, California is ending its masking mandate for businesses on February 15th, 2022. However, masking will continue and be required for school-aged children and staff at this time. The masking rule has not changed for unvaccinated people either, as they are still to wear masks during indoor events, even after the mandate ends on February 15th. Local health departments and local governments can continue their own indoor masking requirements to state. So stay tuned to see if Yuba County is doing anything. I don't think they are, but they could still require it for stores and things like that. But I don't believe they are. But I do want to reiterate the state policy and mandate for masking in schools for students and staff remains unchanged at this point. But we are being told that the governor's office will continue to monitor the data and adjust accordingly. Other new info that came to me today, so it's somewhat rumors and somewhat based on people in the know. California's long-awaited endemic strategy for dealing with COVID and changes to the statewide school masking mandate could be unveiled as soon as this Monday, according to sources close to the governor. The governor's remarks at a press conference when he signed into law the extra paid time for COVID-related sick leave offered the clearest glimpse yet into the state's upcoming plan for treating COVID like any other virus.
So he did sign that,
right? He did, yes. Okay. So although details remain very murky, here are the three things that I was able to take away from his comments. New plans will likely allow some level of local control by the county health, local county health officer when it comes to masking in schools. There are continues to be some concerns at the legislative level about the consequences of low youth vaccination rates if school mask mandates are lifted. And although conditions continue to change, the state is prepared to take a definite step in its approach to the virus. Newsom said, "We are in a date with destiny, and we recognize that we want to turn the page on the status quo." Just a reminder, however, that OSHA has much of the control on how masking works for staff. So what we could see potentially is some changes to student masking lagging for staff masking because OSHA doesn't do things like that, right? So we may see some changes. It may be tossed back onto the backs of the local health officials and then tossed back onto us. But at this point, there's no changes. And I will just keep you posted as there are, if there are. So I mentioned the COVID leave, supplemental paid leave was signed by the governor yesterday and will extend through September 30th of 2022. The bill requires employers like us that have 25 or more employees to provide COVID-19 supplemental paid sick leave for covered employees who are unable to work or telework for certain reasons related to COVID-19. It goes on to say that covered employees will get up to 40 hours, so that's 5 days for full time, of supplemental paid sick leave if that employee either works full time or was off work for qualifying reasons and was off work for qualifying reasons. A covered employee shall be entitled to 40 hours of covered supplemental paid leave due to being subject to a quarantine or isolation related to COVID-19, being advised by a healthcare provider to isolate and quarantine due to COVID-19, attending to an appointment for themselves or a family member to receive a vaccine or a vaccine booster for protection against COVID-19, experiencing symptoms or caring for a family member experiencing symptoms related to the vaccine or the vaccine booster, which prevents the employee from being able to work or telework, experiencing symptoms and seeking a medical diagnosis, caring for a family member who is subject to an order of, or guidance that they are advised to isolate or quarantine, and caring for a child whose school or place of care was closed and otherwise unavailable for the reasons related to COVID-19 in premises. So that's 5 days.
So it's 5 days now instead of 10.
No, but it goes on. This is why it's so convoluted. Okay. So it's 5 days for anything that doesn't have a positive COVID case involved. So in addition to that supplemental paid leave described above, a covered employee can take an additional 40 hours or 5 days of COVID supplemental leave if an employee tests positive for COVID-19 or a family member for whom the employee cares for tests positive of COVID-19. So in other words, if I'm a teacher and I had to stay home to take care of my kid because my kid had COVID, then I get the 5 days for taking care of my kid and I get another 5 days because my kid had COVID. If I'm a teacher and I stay home because my kid's got symptoms, I get 5 days. If they don't test positive, I still only get the 5 days. That's the way it's written.
So this goes back to the 1st of January, correct?
Right. So
the only days off are October, November, December. So it's like a spanking from the governor if you got sick during that time because you were at holiday events or group gathering during the holidays, correct?
Well, so yeah, I'll finish what I have here and then I'll answer that question for you. So yes, it is retro back to January 1st, 2022. The last COVID leave that we had ended September 30th, 2021. So if, based on what's written now, if you got sick or had to take care of somebody with COVID from October 1st through December 31st, you had to use your sick leave. If you were sick before or you're sick now or after January 1st, then you'll get the COVID leave. So knowing where our board always sits and knowing where I sit, it would be my recommendation that we just extend it back to September 30th and make sure that every employee that we have gets that coverage. Understanding that once they use 10 days, so if they, let's say they were somebody who got sick in November and they use their 10 days and then they get sick again in January, they don't get another 10 days, but at least we can give them their 10 days back. And we do have at least 6 employees that I'm aware of that had COVID during that period of time that did have to use their 10 days. Because remember back then you had to be off for 10 days. There was no testing after 5 and coming back. So it just seems appropriate for us in our environment here in this district that we offer that back. And I just need a head nod. You can't vote on it because it's not a voting thing. But if you guys are comfortable with that, that's the way we're going to proceed.
I just have a question.
Sure.
So if they're sick in January, and if the new law, is the state reimbursing us?
There's no reimbursement. There never has been reimbursement for COVID.
Okay.
They reimburse small businesses through a tax credit, but never give them any money. This new one apparently doesn't even come with those tax credits. But for us, since we're a government entity, it doesn't really hurt us in a sense that we're not turning around and paying people. Right? We're just giving them their leave back. And at some point, they'll either use that or they'll use it towards retirement. So I see it as a win-win. You know, we're able to allow our people to be off to care for their family or off because they're sick and not have to decimate their sick leave. We have to do it at least till September of 2022, which we took care of all that. And we have to do it from January 1st on, I am still waiting for the regulations to see if somebody took 10 days in September, do they get a new 10 days in January, or is it they've used 10 days within the school year? And I think it's new. I think it's going to be they get 10 days on the old system and 10 days on the new system.
Maybe?
Probably. And we don't. We do have a few people that have been out a couple of times because of COVID, and we do have a few that have tested positive twice.
Right.
Once
and
during that first day.
But if they're taking care of, like, we have staff. I mean, it's all staff, not just teachers, but that have kids that are positive that they have to stay home.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sure. It still amazes me that there's that. I think it's great that the district is going to take care of those people because I think that's the right thing to do. Because I think this 3 month, and I think it all has, in my own conspiracy theory head, it has to do with group gathering and holidays, and shame on you, and, you know, but I think.
Yeah, I don't know what it has to do with, to be honest with you. The only thing I can assume is that they don't think. They really just don't think about how does that impact.
The gap.
Now, we also have to look at it from a different perspective, right? Because in our system, we have sick leave built in, and they get sick leave and they use sick leave. And it's not as big of an issue as if I'm a individual owner of Jack in the Box. And now I have to reimburse my people. It's different for them. So maybe they look at it from a different global, but truly, I think it's the right thing to do for our people. And with your blessing, that's the way we're going to proceed. We are going to wait till after this week of February to see what, if there's any regulations that come out about if they can use more than 10 days, if they used it before or not, but that's our plan. Okay. So moving on, I've gone to the attendance report. We had 13.
Can I ask you one question?
Absolutely.
I'm still on the superintendent's report and question. So have you heard anything on, just a second, let me, I had it on the Senate Bill 871 on the vaccination thing that's supposed to go through, that they're trying to push through this week for the student vaccination requirements or not?
So the... There's nothing that's come our way yet. My understanding was originally if the governor was going to push for the vaccination mandate, then parents could opt out. If it goes through the legislative process, which Dr. Pan, who's a legislator, has pushed through, he's trying to push through a vaccine mandate that would become part of their everything that they have to be in school, which is, you know, the mumps and all those things. If that goes through, then there's only a medical exemption. If it goes through the governor, then there's medical and parental exemption. But I don't know if it's going to get through because I'm hearing a lot of the representatives are not for making it a mandate.
Okay.
So, but until they take the vote.
I didn't know if you had heard anything on that bill yet. Okay.
I've heard that it's there, but I haven't, it's not up for vote yet. So I'll keep you posted on that for sure. All right. So any other questions about all things
COVID?
You've
got your knots, right?
Yeah. All right. Attendance report. We had 1,329 students at the time of the making the agenda. That's 60 students more than we had last year at this time, but 12 less than we had in January. 143 students in the preschool program, which is 49 more than we had last year and four less than last month. So a total of 1,472 in all groups, which is 109 more than we had last year at this time. That is it for what I have, unless anybody has any questions.
Okay. Moving on to communications from the public. Do we have anybody that would like to share? Annette?
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to congratulate Team Lone Tree and Wheatland Charter Academy for Purple Star Award, a recognition. I appreciate you guys putting your best foot forward and applying. And we just say congratulations. We're really excited. The high school also received the recognition. So I appreciate it. And I'm here to help and support and whatever you guys need, just let me know and we will just move forward. Also at the end of February, I'll be sending out a parent survey to survey our base parents on anything educational. I'm waiting right now for our headquarters to send me the actual survey, so I know exactly what words they want us to capture. So I just want to let you guys know that we'll be doing that. And then when we get the results back, we'll talk and let you guys know too, and see what's working and whatever I can do to help. But I appreciate all you guys do. Thanks also, Mr. Gunsler, for working with that parent that is in need. And I know he doesn't have an answer yet, but I appreciate you at least just entertaining that. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for everything you do. And Tara, thanks a lot for the Wheatland Collaborative meeting. It was great. And that's it. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Annette,
for always being present and helpful and everything you do.
Thank you, too. I appreciate you, too.
Thank you, Annette.
Yeah, thanks, Jody.
Anybody else have anything to say? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions? Can I entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's passed. Moving on to action items.
Okay, so 5.1 is the approval of the parent handbook for next school year, 22-23. Jody takes the reins on this one and redoes it. That's great. Updates the parent handbook.
I do it.
She does it. So this is the handbook coming forward to you. It will not be going out until 22-23, but it has to be approved every year by the board. So can answer any questions that you may have. If not.
Thank you, Jody, for doing that. And congratulations on your award. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to accept the 2022-23 parent handbook?
So moved.
Second? Been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Moving on to 5.2, accept the 2020-2021 audit.
So as you know, we go through many opportunities to talk about the audit, talk about the budget and first interim, second interim. Then we have the audit, and then we have the final audit, which is this that's been accepted by the state. So it comes back to you every year at this time for the previous year. So this is for 2021. And again, we had no findings. So it's for you to.
Any questions? Entertain a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the audit of the 2021 and that we thank Brenda and all the people that did us with no findings. English isn't coming out very well tonight, is it?
It's been moved in second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moving on to 5.3, the CSEA MOU.
Okay, so 5.3 and 5.4 are similar in that last year, the federal government enacted a new holiday called Juneteenth. It's June 19th. Last year, they enacted it. What was that, Rich?
June 17th.
No, it's 19th.
Oh, was the 17th?
Because the 19th fell on a holiday.
Oh,
it was.
So, what is this holiday?
It has to do with something to do with Texas. Does anybody know the emancipation of slaves in Texas?
Yes.
That's the date in which they did it. So they made this a federal holiday, but last year when they made it the federal holiday, they made it on the day. It was the day that we had to, you know, make it happen. So obviously our employees all came to work because we didn't know it was going to be a holiday, and we had didn't even know if California was going to accept it as a holiday.
Does it have like an official name?
Besides? Juneteenth.
Juneteenth.
That's what they call it.
That's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
So CSEA, which represents our classified staff, sued a bunch of the districts. They didn't sue us, thank goodness. But it has officially become a federal holiday. And so in working with CSEA, we felt that the employees that should have gotten off June 17th, because the 19th fell on a Saturday, they would have been able to get it off. So to fix that, we're giving them a floating holiday that has to be used this year. It doesn't carry over. So they get one day of a floater. And then from this point forward, they will get June 19th off, which happens to be June 20th this coming June, because the 19th falls on a Sunday.
So just like, I'm sorry, I'm interested now. I guess yeah. I should have done my research prior to this. Does like the post office close and like, it's like yeah. President's Day mm-hmm. and-
Yes,
federal. Exactly, it's a federal holiday.
Wow.
Yeah. So
another day Richard's to be home.
Yes.
And it doesn't, you said before, it doesn't affect the teachers because it
does not. It only affects, actually, it affects our 11 and 12 month employees only. Mm-hmm. Any classified employee who is 10 month or less, they don't work. They have to be able to get a holiday, they have to work the day before or the day after. So like our secretaries that are 11 month, they don't get the 4th of July, right? But they will get June 19th because they do work in June. So our 11-month and our 12-month will get this holiday. Our student attendance day employees, they do not get it. They do not get paid for it, just like they don't July 4th. If a holiday falls within their work year, then they get paid for that. But this one isn't. So it's really just a matter of our 12-month and 11-month people getting that day off as a holiday.
So our HR people and our payroll people, between this and the COVID change in rules, they have a lot of paperwork on yeah. their hands.
Well, this one's fairly easy because there wasn't a lot of people last year working on that day. I mean, you think about most of our employees don't work that far into June.
This will affect the summer camp program, though, correct?
Correct. It will in the future, correct, affect summer camp and ESY.
ESY,
which is extended school year for special education,
okay.
which requires 20 days of instruction beyond the school year. But we looked it up, Ange looked it up, and so did Aaron. And a holiday now counts towards that 20 days. So we don't have to make it up.
Nice.
Yeah. So in that particular situation, this year's ESY will go in, I think it goes till July 8th. So they'll actually get 18 days instead of 20 because they'll get June 19th off and July 4th off. But the same thing with our summer camp in that it would be typically 3 weeks, but it's going to, so 15 days, but now it's going to be 14 days for kids. So unless the state comes out with something that says summer camp doesn't take that day off, which I don't expect that they will do, but. So 5.3 and 5.4 are basically saying that the employees that had to work on that day are given a floating holiday for this year. And then that's all this says. In their negotiations for next year and beyond, it will be put in their contract as a regular holiday.
So we're going to do 5.3.
So you can take them together and you can take them separate.
Together.
It's up to you.
We'll just take them together.
I make a motion that we approve 5.3. And 5.4, the CSEA MOU and the confidential employee MOU.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do I have a vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Moving on to 5.5, CSEA Sunshine to the District.
Okay, so as you know, we're in the midst of negotiating with all of the groups, and we haven't been able to negotiate with classified employees yet because they hadn't brought their sunshine forward, which has to happen prior to having an agreement. So this is their initial proposal to the district. At the last board meeting, I brought the districts towards classified. So this will open the door for us to be able to sit down with classified and start negotiations. So I have to bring that forward for your approval. You're not approving what they're asking, you're approving that they're asking, if that makes sense.
I make a motion that we approve 5.5, the CSEA to the district sunshine, so negotiations begin.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Moving on to 5.6.
So I'm going to do 5.6, 5.7, and 5.8 all together. It does not take a motion. This is information only. Part of the requirement under the guidelines for the LCAP is that we bring forward now a supplemental portion, which is 5.6, that will be part of the 22-23 LCAP. So you will see it again when the 22-23 LCAP comes forward. So that's been written and brought forward to you. And I'm happy to answer any questions about any of these now or at any time if you ask. The LCFF budget overview, we're required to bring that forward. It's the parent budget overview. If you remember, we did it back in September. We're doing it again now. It's just an update on where we are spending the LCFF money. So that's there for your enjoyment. And then the LCAP mid-year report is another report to report what we've already reported, because we wanted to report again, I guess. So this is the mid-year report to talk about monies that we have spent within the LCAP. The 5.6, going back to that one, the supplemental, we're required in that one to report money that came in after the LCAP was written. So it'd be a lot of our COVID money. But if you remember, we've already done reports on that. So this is taking those reports and putting them all together in this report so that it can go into the 2022-23 LCAP report. So I'm bringing these three forward for information only. I'm happy to answer any questions now, or if you have any, you can send them to me at any point. It does not take any action.
So will the action come later then?
No, there's no action whatsoever. The action for 5.6 will come when the 22-23 LCAP is written. This will be a portion of it. The other ones are just for information to show how the money is being spent.
Okay.
And I need to remind everybody that, again, because I know that things get out there, that a lot of the CARES money and the COVID money and the ESSER money that were promised, we have not received, right? So for example, our ESSER 3 money, where we're supposed to get $1.3 million of ESSER 3 money, I think we've only received less than 100,000. So it is kind of a miss, you know, it doesn't paint the picture like the press likes to paint the picture that we received this money, because we have not received it. We will, apparently, but we have not.
Any other questions? Moving on to 5.9, approve the awards of the E-rate projects.
Okay, so you're all aware of E-rate. It is a 70-30 match where we are able to buy equipment for our technology department, and it is reimbursed through E-rate at 70 cents on the dollar. So if we were to spend $100,000 on products, we get 70,000 of that back. 30,000 of it we have to spend. So this comes forward every year. This is our project. We work with the company to make sure that we're following all the guidelines on what we need to do to make sure we get reimbursed. And the way we actually do it, there's two ways you can do it. You can spend the money up front and then apply to get reimbursed. Or the way we do it is we do the order through the company, and then the company bills us for 30% and bills E-rate for 70%, which is much better for us, because if there's a delay in getting E-rate, it's not on us, it's on the company. So this is the proposal for the projects on the E-rate that we would pay 30% for.
Do I have a motion on 5.9?
And it's not cheap. It's $210,000, so we'll be on the hook for 30% of that.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. Do we have any board comments? I have a comment.
Yes.
I heard, and I don't know if you guys heard, that one of our former custodians passed away, Bill Elkins.
No, I did not hear that.
He was 76, and I guess about 8 years ago, he moved to Arizona. But his wife called Sal, because Sal had worked at Lone Tree together, I guess. Mm. And so I just heard, I guess, I'm not positive, but he got sick. I'm not sure if it was COVID or not. But then he followed up with several strokes.
It was COVID.
It was COVID and stroke.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
So I just wanted to let anybody that knew him know that.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
You don't have anything on the chat, right?
From the gallery? Any comments?
That's it. Moving into closed session.
Moving to closed session.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, that's not fair, Sherry. Not fair. Not fair at all.
She's a little
bit older. Her dog?
Yeah.
I sure miss our dog.
Did you guys have the trees?